This week, New Zealand's red meat industry marked a milestone. On the 24th of May, 140 years ago, the first shipment of New Zealand frozen lamb arrived in the UK. The cargo originated from Totara Estate near Oamaru. At that stage, the property stretched over 15,000 acres or 6,000 hectares. 50 years ago, George Berry moved on to the then much smaller estate and began researching the history of that first voyage. He says the ship, the Dunedin, left port on the 15th of February, 1882.
It was an interesting exercise because for some reason they chose to send the meat by sailing ship, frozen in the hold of the ship because there were no freezing facilities on shore, and the stock was killed at Totara on the estate here and railed down to Dunedin in insulated railway wagons and loaded in the hold. But within a few days of filling the hold with the first 600-odd sheep, the freezing machinery broke down, and the first people to eat frozen meat from New Zealand were actually the residents of Dunedin, where it had to be offered for sale for what it would bring. So anyway, they had more success once that was repaired, and the ship took off on the 15th of February 1882 bound for London round Cape Horn.
They used coal to provide the energy to keep the lamb frozen, is that right?
Yes. I'm no expert, but effectively the coal fired a steam boiler, the steam fired a compressor, the compressor compressed the warm air, and when it was released again from the compressor, it came out at a very low temperature, and that's how freezing was achieved. It was quite innovative for its time. The machinery involved progressed very rapidly, but this was a very early Bell Coleman one, and it worked very well because it was 98 days, the journey from Port Chalmers to Tilbury Docks in London, and they had a lot of excitement on the way, one way and another. If you can imagine sailing around Cape Horn, that deep in the Southern Ocean, and then through the tropics and doldrums, there were many adventures along the way. Some of the drama revolved around the a sailing ship belching steam and smoke, and of course, occasionally the sails would catch on fire. Obviously, they were successful in quelling the fire, but there are times when the passing steamship, seeing a sailing ship belching smoke, thought it was in distress, and to the much concern of Captain Whitson, who was in charge, they'd come over to offer assistance, which was an embarrassment to him, to say the least. It was a successful voyage in that the Dunedin arrived at Tilbury Docks. They anchored it there, or tied it up there for a month, using it as a freezer, and fed the meat into Suffield Market, and the 4,300 sheep, 600-odd lambs, and 22 pigs were all sold very successfully at double the price and profit that they would have achieved in New Zealand. So that's how it all started.
Did it all arrive safely? Did anything spoil on the way?
There was only one carcass in the whole lot that was condemned, and it was thought that was because it had been bumped before it was frozen. The biggest drama on the journey actually was in the tropics when the ship was caught on one tack for a long time, and the cold air wasn't moving in the hold, so the temperatures were rising. And Captain Whitson, who was a real hero, lowered himself down on a rope on a ventilation shaft into the hold and cut holes to allow more circulation of the air. Now, that saved the cargo, and it nearly killed Captain Whitson because he was almost frozen to death when they managed to pull him out by a rope that they secured round his legs back up the ventilation shaft. And when he got to London, the land company directors were so impressed with his performance, they awarded him 100 guineas. And his employer, the sailing company, Albion Shipping Line, gave him £20. So his efforts weren't unrewarded.
That was a fortune in those days.
It was, yes. He was quite a man, Woodson, said to be one of the best sailing masters of his time. So he completed three more voyages before he took ill in Oamaru and died here. So he wasn't on the last voyage of the Dunedin, when both Dunedin and its sister ship, the Marlborough, which was also engaged by the land company, contracted in trade. They left from Port Chalmers and were never heard of again, vanished in the Southern Ocean with all their cargo and people on board. You know, there were hundreds of ships wrecked on Cape Horn, striking icebergs and overwhelming storms. So it was pretty gutsy stuff.
Do you know if there was much feedback about the quality of the lamb and what the British farmers thought about New Zealand lamb arriving on their shores?
Oh, there were, even before the first shipment, there was concern in from the British farmers that the trade would damage their market in UK. But there was a scarcity of meat in UK at that time. So their fears, I don't think, were ever realised. The sheep that arrived at Smithfield, the butchers there who bought the meat said they'd never seen such big sheep. It's a great story.
George Berry. Celebrations to mark the 140th anniversary were held in Oamaru and in London this week. The industry's come a long way since then. In the 2020-2021 financial year, New Zealand exported more than 406,000 tonnes of sheep meat, valued at $3.86 billion, to a total of 87 countries.